Masechet Pesachim, Daf Kaf Aleph 21. We're starting the second Perek. Topic will be mostly at the beginning now about Isurei Hana'ah. Not only can you not eat chametz, but also cannot derive benefit. As we go through the Perek, we'll see other things that also you cannot derive benefit from. Also a lot of practical things about koshering dishes and different laws of kashrut that are very relevant. And also very interesting, a couple of manuscript variances we'll see today. All right, we begin. Kol sha'a shemutar le'chol, ma'achil la'behema la'chaya ve'la'ofot, u'mochel la'goy, u'mutar behana'ato, aval zemano asur behana'ato, ve'lo yasik bo tanur v'chiraim. So the opening makes a connection between the prohibition of eating and deriving benefit. So any time that one is allowed to eat, that is also a time that you can derive benefit. What does it mean to derive benefit from chametz? Here's some examples. You can feed it to an animal. We'll discuss why it discusses all three types, a domesticated animal, a wild animal, and birds. You can also sell it to a non-Jew, and you can derive benefit from in general. But you know, that's adding something. However, once that time passes, the time that you can no longer eat it, then you can also no longer derive any benefit from it. Not deriving benefit, that includes that you cannot burn it in your stove or your oven. So even though chametz that you have to get rid of, you burn, but you can't derive benefit while you're burning it. You have to just burn it outside and not get anything. If you're going to get heat out of it and cook some eggs with the chametz, that's no good. Then you're deriving benefit. Okay, so we see a close connection between these two times, and we'll discuss whose opinion this follows, because it's actually not our opinion. We have an hour in between in which we cannot eat, yet we can derive benefit from it. Okay, that's part one. Part two, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, En bi'ol chametz ela serefa. Okay, when you do have to destroy the chametz, the way to do it is through burning. That's the only way, according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim omerim, af mefarer v'zore laruach o matir layam. Af, they say, you can also crumble it up and throw it into the wind or into the sea. All right, that's chachamim. In other words, just get rid of it, however. Now, the word af here suggests that chachamim are adding to the biyuda. They agree that you can burn it, and maybe they would even say that that's the preferable way. They're just adding other ways to do it. But the word af is very interesting because if we look at manuscripts of the Talmud, of the Mishnah, rather, this is called the Kaufman manuscript. It's considered the most reliable, complete manuscript of the Mishnah. And you see, this is the Perek Kol Sha'a. And here it says, Chachamim Omerim Mefarer Vezoreh. Now, there's no word af. Also in the Parma manuscript, says here, Chachamim Omerim Mefarer Vezoreh. There's no word af. And also some of the Rishonim do not have the word af. And that suggests the possibility that it's actually better to throw it into the wind or the sea and not to burn it. But we'll get more into that topic next week. Okay, for now, we saw the Mishnah, and the Talmud is going to focus on four issues. First of all, who is the author of this Mishnah? Second, what about the redundancy of the different types of animals? Why do you have to mention all of them? Third, a very important shitav bet shamai, that you would not be able to sell chametz soon before Pesach begins. And then the main discussion will be about not deriving benefit. What if it's inedible? How about during the sixth hour? How about burning an oven? And finally, what's the source that you cannot derive benefit from chametz? Good. Kol sha'a shemutar le'chol ma'achil, quoting the Gemara, according to Mishnah, ha kol sha'a she'eno mutar le'chol eno ma'achil. So we are deriving the contrapositive, whatever that's called, right? If any time that you can eat it, you can derive benefit, that would mean that any time that you cannot eat chametz, then you cannot ma'achil, you cannot give it to the animal. You cannot derive benefit either, right? There's no time when you can do both one and not the other. So lema matnitin de la kerebi Yehuda, de rebi Yehuda ha'ika chamesh, de no ochel u ma'achil, titnan, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochlin Kol Chamesh, Vesorfin Betchilat Shesh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba, Vetolin Kol Chamesh, Vesorfin Betchilat Shesh. We had a Mishnah already in the first Perek, Machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is a little bit more lenient, and he said, you're allowed to eat Chametz the entire fifth hour, in other words, on a typical day, which it usually is because Pesach is around the equinox. You can eat Chametz from 10 till 11 o'clock, and then 11:01, that you should burn it, and you can no longer eat. Really, from midoraita, it's at noon, but the rabbis are adding 1 hour before to burn it. So according to Rabbi Meir, right, you can derive benefit, you can eat it and derive benefit everything during the fifth hour, but you can't do anything during the sixth hour. The Biuda, however, says you can eat during the fourth hour, in other words, from 9 till 10, and then from 10 and 11 till 11, tolin. You have to wait, right? You cannot eat it, but you don't have to burn it. You can actually derive benefit during this hour. And then at 11:01, you will burn it. So therefore, we see that this Mishnah cannot be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is 1 hour in which you are not allowed to eat it, but you are allowed to derive benefit from it. And that would go against the statement of the Mishnah that anytime you can eat it, you can derive benefit. It's not true for Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so this Mishnah is not following Rabbi Yehuda. Well, then who is it following? Ve'elamai, Rabbi Meir hi, hai kol sha'a shemutar le'echol ma'achil. Well, it does seem to be following Rabbi Meir, but the Gemara is not happy with that. It's making an inference from the exact language. It's good we have a lawyer here, right? So it says, Kol Sha'a Shemutar Le'echol. It doesn't just say, anytime you can eat, you can feed it to animals. That would be a simpler way. We're applying the idea of omnisignificance, not only to, like, we're treating the Mishnah as if it was a verse. And so it has an extra word. Any time that one is permitted to eat, anytime that someone is permitted to eat, then you can also feed. Why not just say it simply? Anytime that you can eat, you can also feed. So Rabbi Meir would not need that extra word. And therefore we say, no, it can't be Rabbi Meir either, because you can eat it yourself. So what does it mean that anytime that someone can eat, but not you? Well, that leads us to the third opinion. Amar Rabba Bar Ula Matnitin Rabban Gamliel Hi Titnan. Rabban Gamliel Omer Cholin Hanechalin Kol Arba Teruma Kol Chamesh Vesorfin Betchilat Shesh. Rabban Gamliel was a third opinion back in the previous perek. He somewhat agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that there's three time periods. The first time period, 9 to 10, anyone can eat and derive benefit. During the second hour, from 10 to 11, only Kohanim can eat terumah, because we don't want to burn terumah, that's chametz, and so we want to give the extra hour for Kohanim to eat it. So in other words, someone can eat chametz, but not most people. And then at 11:01, you would burn it. And that fits into the words of the Mishnah. Kol sha'a shemutar le'echol, kohen b'terumah, Yisrael machil cholin b'hema l'chayav l'afot. So any time that someone is allowed to eat, who is that someone? Kohanim, they can eat terumah. Even though Israel cannot eat, during that hour, everyone can feed their animals. And that way, it fits into the words of the Mishnah very well. Okay, good. So
effectively, that's the same thing though, no?
What?
They're both saying you could feed your animals up to the fifth hour.
They are saying, yes, they are. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't fit, because according to the Biyuda, there is no one can eat it during that fifth hour, and yet, yeah. Right?
I mean, between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Meir, it's essentially the same time.
According to the Rabbi Meir, everyone can eat it during that fifth hour.
But in terms of feeding your animals,
yes,
both. Right.
Everyone agrees that you can feed your animals. All three opinions agree that you can feed your animals during the fifth hour.
Uh huh.
Right, but none of the...
We need for that fifth hour to be a time when someone cannot eat it.
Okay.
But this conversation feels a little contrived, because if they didn't insist on a hyper-precise reading and reading in the contrapositive, none of these, you could have fit any of these three opinions into the plain text of the Mishnah. So well, why did they insist on doing this?
Good. Okay, excellent. I didn't realize I have two lawyers here. Good. So actually, I think the contrapositive is fine. Just because why say this? I mean, isn't it kind of obvious? If you can eat it, you can also feed it. Like, why would you think opposite? To say that these times are equivalent, that's not such a big stretch. But I think it's really not necessary to say that mutar le'echol necessarily means that you can't eat it, but only someone else can eat it. And right. As a matter of fact, the Talmud Yerushalmi does not say what the Bavli says. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that this is Rabbi Meir's opinion, which fits perfectly fine. And as a matter of fact, the Yerushalmi has a slightly different version of the Mishnah, also the Mishnah manuscripts. I already showed them to you, but now let's focus on this section. The Kaufman manuscript says, Kol she'a shehu mutar le'echol. This one has an added word, shehu, anytime that he can eat, which suggests that it's the owner, right? Anytime the owner can eat, the owner can also feed. So actually that is clearly according to Rabbi Meir. And also the Parma manuscript, Kol she'a shehu mutar lo chal, same thing. Also the Cambridge manuscript, the Rambam's manuscript, and others all have the word shehu. And so that you see that the Yerushalmi says this is Rabbi Meir because it has this version. And the Bavli is able to say it's not Rabbi Meir, it's Rabban Gamliel, because it does not have the word shehu.
Right, but why they could say it, but like, well, why bother? Like, it was just seemed like an unnecessary rhetorical addendum that they didn't have to do.
Right, they didn't have to. I think that they want to bring the Mishnah more in line with what they decide is the final halakha, because nowadays, as you know, we do have three sections, right? We do add an extra hour, like it'd be Yehuda. Effectively for us, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban Gamliel are the same because we don't have Terumah. And so by doing this, we don't have to say that halakha is against the Mishnah. We're able to interpret the Mishnah to be in line with what the rabbis have decided the halakha is.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, excellent. So now we move on to the next topic. Why do I need to mention both domesticated animals and non-domesticated? Non-domesticated, you could think of like weasels and mice, things like that. Behema would be maybe a sheep that you have in your house, or even a dog. Siricha, di tana behema. So generally, if you have a sheep that you feed it something and it eats and it doesn't finish it, it'll leave the leftovers there. However, a weasel, a mouse, whatever it doesn't eat there on the spot, it's going to hide in some corner. And that's not good because now, if the dog leaves something left over, you'll see it there. And so then you'll take care of it, you'll clean it up, you'll get rid of it. So that's permitted. But I might've thought that I should not feed it to a mouse because it's gonna go hide it. And now I'm gonna have to go and do bedikat chametz again. So don't feed it to the mouse during that hour. Therefore, the Mishnah has to mention says, it's fine, you can feed it to the mouse you'll have to watch over it or at least have in mind that it's when it hits something and do bitul. Okay, and the other way around, let's say it just said that you can give it to a non-domesticated animal. Well, at least if it does leave over, it'll hide it. And that way you don't have to see it. You don't have to violate bal yara'e. Aval behema zimnin de meshayada v'la masika da'ate. V'ka'e ale v'bal yara'e v'bal yamaseh. But an animal, you're going to feed it to the dog. You're going to assume it ate everything. And then you're not going to pay attention and go back and check. And it's going to leave it there right in the middle of the floor. And then you will violate not seeing it and not having it. So I might have thought that it wouldn't be allowed to feed it to the dog. And therefore the Mishnah mentions both. Both are permitted, right? This is very interesting because it's like the very same criteria you're using in both directions. The fact that it can be hid or it's there out in the open. But there are reasons to suggest that each one could be more lenient and more stringent. And so therefore, actually, it doesn't matter. If it is going to hide it, you'll do bitul. If it's there right in front of you, you'll make sure and get rid of it. And so either way, it's permitted. All right, so that's the two kinds of animals. How about birds? Ofot lamali. Oh, well, since you mentioned animals and non-domesticated animals, all right, we'll throw in birds also. They kind of go together as a group. This is just interesting, right? Because we spent so much time figuring out why it says these two, but birds, like, there's no particular reason. Birds are just part of the group. All right, so that resolves the second topic. Now, third, mochro lagoy. Bishita, right? Of course you can sell it to a Gentile. Why would you think not? Why does Mishnah even have to say this? So actually, it's not so simple at all. Lapuke mahaitana detenya. Bet shamai omerim lo yimkor adam hames lagoy. Ela im ken yodea bo sheikhle kodem pesach. Ubetilel omerim kol shash mutar leechol. Mutar lim kor. So Bet Shammai has a very important opinion here. He says you cannot sell your chametz to a goy right before Pesach. You have to give him enough time that he could eat it all. In other words, you are actually responsible for your chametz even after you sell it. The real law is you have to get rid of all chametz from everywhere. All of your chametz has to be destroyed totally. This is a little remnant of the original Torah law that says you have to get rid of all chametz in the whole country, right? No one is allowed to have any. And so here, you know, if I have, 10 cases of beer and I go and, give it to my doorman an hour before Pesach, no good, according to Bet Shammai. I have to give it to him some days before, enough time that he could actually consume it. I don't have to go and check to make sure he actually consumed it, but at least the possibility of him having consumed it.
Rabbi, I just wanted to confirm, you're saying possibility, but the text seems to say that you can yodea bo sheikh. That doesn't say that he could.
It says right. Even says that you know that he actually destroyed it. Okay, that's a good point. It's hard to imagine that he's going to go back and check on him. It is similar to, like, in Shabbat, if you give something to a non-Jew to carry for you, you know, and so he has to be able to get to the city in time for Shabbat, and we don't have to go and follow him and check that he actually did. So that's a good point. That's a good question. But so according to Bet Shammai, really you would not be allowed to sell your chametz soon before Pesach. You have to give it enough time. So that's why the Mishnah had to go out of its way and say you can sell it to a non-Jew even during that time period, during that hour right before, that's fine. Because Bet Hillel says, kol shah, anytime that you can eat it, you can also sell it, even 1 minute before, at 10 o'clock. So actually, you see that now we can appreciate the language of the Mishnah much better, as opposed to what the Gemara just said, that we're learning the contrapositive. It's actually the Mishnah itself. Anytime that you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. And not everyone agrees with that. So the Mishnah is actually giving us a big chidush in that statement.
Rabbi, sorry, one more question. Could you get a little cute here and say that the goy is allowed to eat it until Pesach starts, so he has another 6 hours or whatever to eat?
Does the goy have to add an hour or more?
Well, not even an hour. Does he have to do, on the 14th, or could he wait till the eve of the 15th to finish?
Right. I would assume that he would have to eat it by noon, because really that's already Pesach. You're preparing Korban Pesach at that time, and so the chametz has to be gone. And if it was Beit HaMikdash times, it couldn't be around at all.
Okay.
Good. Now, part of that same Beraita is a third opinion. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera omer, kutach. Bechol mine kutach, asur limkor 30 yom kodem la-Pesach. Kutach is a delicious Babylonian dish made out of moldy bread and sour cream. I haven't tried it, but I hear it's fantastic. If you like blue cheese, you'll probably like this too. This was deeply fermented, and so could last a very long time. And so this kutach, because it is chametz, and it takes a very long time to consume it, it's just a condiment. You have a little at a time. And so if you do have some of this kutach, then you cannot sell it even within a month of Pesach, because you have to, again, give the non-Jew enough time to finish it off, and nobody can finish kutach in a few days. You need a lot more time. So you see, the Biuda is in the same vein as Bet Shammai. But perhaps he wouldn't totally agree with Beit Shammai. Maybe he's just saying, in particular, kutach, it's like impossible for anyone to finish this. So that is there's an extra stringency in that regard. All right, very good. Now, mutar bahana'a, also peshita. You know, you just gave me a whole list. You said I can't feed it to an animal, and then a general thing. You can't have hana'a. What is this coming to tell us? La siricha sheharacho kodem zemano. Here's what you did. In the morning, sometime, you burnt the chametz to such an extent that it is no longer edible. Perhaps not even to a dog. But you could still be able to use it for something else. So let's say, you know, so once it's not considered chametz anymore, it removes the definition of chametz, then you're allowed to derive benefit from it because it's not edible. So this would be like maybe you could burn it and as a fire. And this is important halacha because this applies to things like, whatever, toothpaste or detergent or I don't know what. Things that might have chametz in it but are not edible. Once they're not edible, then they are no longer considered chametz, and they can one can derive benefit from them. Very good. Now, avar zemano asur b'hanato peshita. Right. Once the time passes, then the time of eating passes, then you can no longer derive benefit. Isn't that obvious? It comes to teach us that even the Rabbanan hour or two, according to the Bi-Yehuda, during that hour in which you are not allowed to eat it mid-Rabbanan, you also cannot derive benefit from it. D'amar Rav Gidel, amar Rav Chiya bar Yosef, amar Rav Yochanan, ha-mekadesh mi-shesh sha'ot ulamala, afilu b'chayte kur dan yata, and hosheshin the kiddushin. So if someone, in order to be betrothed a woman, you have to give her something of value. And so if someone takes a piece of wheat and gives it to a woman during the sixth hour, in other words, at 11:01, at 11:01, technically chametz is permitted midoraita, only midrabanan is not allowed. So if I give it to her, and I say Hareat Mekudeshet, technically we should be married, right? We should be betrothed mid deoraita. And so this comes to add and say that once it's a sumid rabbanan, it has no value at all. And therefore you cannot use it, therefore it has no value. And you don't have to worry about that. Even maybe they're Mekudeshet. She can go and marry another man, doesn't need a get or anything. And even if it's this type of wheat from this Kurdish wheat. Kurdish wheat, we saw sometime before, it's very hard wheat. And so it's difficult for it to become chametz. So if it does become damp, the rabbi said, listen, you have to worry, maybe it became chametz. It's like the least possible form of minimal chametz. Even that, which is hardly chametz, that we say that since it could be chametz, it's asur midrabanan. You cannot derive benefit from it. And if someone does use it for kiddushin, the kiddushin, we don't have to worry. It's not a kiddushin at all. So that's what's coming to add. Not only when it's asur midrabanan, even when it's asur midrabanan, it has no value anymore. Good. Next section says v'lo yasik bo tanur v'chiraim, and you can't use it to burn as fuel productively. Peshita la sericha le Rabbi Yehuda de'amar en bi'or chametz ela serefa. Right, isn't this obvious? Well, it's coming to tell us something about Rabbi Yehuda. He's the one that said that when you do bi'or chametz, it has to be with burning. Sakad atech amina o'il v'amar Rabbi Yehuda misvato b'srefa v'ade deka saref le litnane mine kamashmalan. You might have thought to say that while I'm burning it, I may as well derive some benefit. Maybe it's a little cold out. Maybe I want to cook some eggs while I'm burning my chametz and use the chametz as fuel. And no, and that's what comes to teach us. Even at the time that you were actually burning it, you cannot derive any benefit from it. You got to burn it outside and not derive benefit from the heat. Okay, good. Now, Amar Chizkiya. So here's now our main topic. Minayin lechames bepesach she'asur b'hana'a. Shenemar lo ye'achel chames, lo yeheh bo heter achila. Okay, how do we know that you cannot derive benefit? The Torah seems to only say explicitly that don't eat it. But if it wanted to say don't eat it, it could have said lo yochal chametz as an active verb. Don't eat chametz. Instead it said chametz should not be eaten. While using the passive verb form, that seems to add something. It says, don't even do anything that might lead to the possibility of eating chametz. If you could derive benefit from it, then you could sell it and you could take the money and then you can go eat something. And so it could lead to a benefit of eating. So therefore, the passive says, in any manner, no deriving benefit. So they're just analyzing Chizkiyah. So it's only because the Torah used a passive verb. That's why we know that. But otherwise, if you use an active verb, then we would not know that. Okay. And we say that to contrast with another opinion. Upiligad Rabbi Abhu, another Amora. Damar Rabbi Abhu. Kol makom she'ne'emar lo ye'achel, lo tochal, lo tochelu, echad isur achila, ve'achad isur hana'a mashma. Ad she'yeferet lecha katub, kederech she'peret lecha bin ve'la. Rabbi Abhu has a different way of reading this grammar. He says anytime it says any of these forms, it shall not be eaten, in the passive, don't eat, in the active, lo tochelu, also active, doesn't matter. All these verbs mean no eating and no deriving benefit. Even if it's an active verb, it still implies no benefit. So in other words, according to the Rabbi Abhu, the default for all isurim in the Torah is that if you can't eat it, you also can't derive benefit from it. They go together. That's the default. And the only way you can undo the default state is if the pasuk goes out of its way and says that, you know what, this thing, you are allowed to derive benefit from it, as it does regarding nevela. Detanya lo tochelu. Now this is a braita, this is a midrash in the Sifre Devarim. It says, lo tochelu kol nevela, lager asher bisharecha titenena v'achala, o machol lanochri v'gomer. And so you see this pasuk says, lo tochelu, don't eat it. If it just said, don't eat it, then according to the Rabbi Abhu, I would assume not only don't eat it, but also no benefit from it. These two things go together. But this time it says, lager, to the stranger who lives amongst you, you can give it to him as a gift. Or it would be a ger toshav, right? That not a ger who converted. And he can eat it. Or you can sell it to a foreigner, and then they can eat it. So since this pasuk goes out of its way and says that you can give it or sell it, now I know that this one I can derive benefit. And the ela lege. So we see the contrast here. Let me show you in the outline. Okay, Chizkiyah says the default anywhere in the Torah, if it says, you know, don't eat, I assume it means only eating is the problem, but I could derive benefit. Unless there's some word uses the passive form, and then I say, oh, this one is different than the default. So chametz, it uses lo ye'achel, and that's how I know I can't derive benefit from it. But otherwise, active verbs, the default is it's only talking about eating. Rabbi Abu assumes the opposite. He comes to Torah assuming that everything that's prohibited to eat is prohibited to have benefit also, unless the pasuk goes out of its way and said to say, oh, you can give it to a non-Jew or you can feed it to a dog. In that case, I would know that I can benefit from it. That's the machloket. We started quoting this baraita, which is going to try to match up the Tanaitic opinions, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, with these two. So we're going to do some back and forth here regarding these pesukim. Okay, so the Braita continues and says, "En li ela lager benetina lagoy b'mechira." Lager b'mechira minayin. This pasuk has two categories. It says a nevela. That means an animal that died on its own, not with shechita, or a non-kosher animal that died. These are called nevela. You're not allowed to eat it yourself, but you can get benefit from it. And so the pasuk says, I can give it to a ger, or I can sell it to a goy. Those are two categories. So now I only know that I can give it to a ger as a gift, and I can sell it to a goy. Now, what if I want to sell it to a ger, right? Would that be okay? Tamad lomar, la ger ashi b'sharecha titenena, o machor. legor benitina minayin, tamodomar titenena vachala o machor legoy. Nimset tan omer, echad ger vechad goy, ben bemchira, ben benitina, dibre, rabbi meir. Let me show you in the pasuk. So we're just going to do some fancy footwork with the punctuation here to show that you can sell it. His point is, he's more lenient. You can sell it or gift it to either a stranger or a foreigner. Either way, it doesn't really matter. And although the pasuk says two categories, you can put the comma anywhere you want as follows. So it says, don't eat it. Any nevela lager asher bisharecha titenena v'achala o machor. You can put the comma here after the machor, and that way you can read it as you should, to the stranger, you can either give it or machor or sell it, comma, right? Or you could put the comma beforehand and here, and you say, titenen v'achala o machor lanochri. You can give it as a gift or sell it to a non-Jew. Okay, right? So since you can put the comma in either place, therefore he's reading it both ways. And so it doesn't matter which way you do it. That's Rabbi Meir. Now Rabbi Yehuda is more stringent. Rabbi Yehuda omer devarim kichtavan. You have to do it exactly as it is prescribed. Lager benetina ulgoy bemechira. To the resident alien, you have to give it as a gift. You cannot sell it to him. And to the non-Jew, you have to sell it to him. You can't give it as a gift. My tamad Rabbi Yehuda, why? Isaka de tekedam Rabbi Meir, lichtov rachamana lager asher bisharecha titenen vachala u machor. Oh, lamali. So he doesn't agree with Rabbi Meir because it says the word oh, which is this or that. And not if it wanted to say this and that, it would have said ooh. And then you could have read it more easily, put the comma in either place. But the or really separates the two. So therefore, Shema Amina Lidvarim Kichtavan, and therefore he's following Kichtavan, what we might call the Peshat reading of it. Okay, good. Now, Rabbi Meir, oh, well, so that's a good question. How about Rabbi Meir? Why does it say the word oh, which sounds like it separates? Lakdim netina deger lemechira degoy. So it does separate a little bit and say you could do either one, but it's nicer, it's better if you have a choice to give it to a ger or sell it to a goy, better to give it to a ger as a gift. After all, this nevela is not really worth a lot of money because most, Jews cannot eat it. And so since you're not losing out so much, give it as a gift to the ger. That's nice to do. But Rabbi Yehuda, ha lo sarich kera, kevan de ger ata mesuvel achayoto, ve goy yi ata mesuvel achayoto. Lo sarich kera sevara hu. Rabbi Yehuda agrees in essence that it's better to gift it to a neighbor who's a non-Jew, someone who lives among you, because you are obligated to help him out, right? The ged that lives among you, and he's poor, you have to help him. Whereas the foreigner, non-Jew, who's just passing through, he's here for on a business trip, I don't have an obligation to sustain him. But everybody knows that. That's already, I know that from the laws of charity. I don't need this pasuk to tell me that. So they both agree that better to give it to a ged, but Rabbi Meir learns it from the word ah, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need to learn it from the word ah, and therefore the word ah for Rabbi Yehuda is free to separate the two categories, and so they're not based on the same. And read it according to the Peshat. Okay, now why we bring all this to relate it to what we said above? Bishlama did Rabbi Meir damar echad ger veechad goy ben bemechira ben benetina. Okay, so what we're trying to do is relate Rabbi Abahu's position. He says that the default default of all Isurim is that benefit is also not allowed unless it goes out of its way and teaches you something else. So that reading makes sense according to Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Meir, he is following, we need the pasuk here to tell us that that the nevela is permitted behana'a, because otherwise we would not know it. Ela Rabbi Yehuda damar lidvarim kichtavan hu da'ata, ha'kol isurim shebatorah minaleh da'asurin behana'a. However, according to the Biuda, who says that I we're reading this according to the Peshat. So then I actually need to know that I need this pasuk for this context. How do I know that I can use this pasuk for every other context? That all the others are asurim behana'a, right? So in other words, according to the Bei Meir's understanding of it, that this pasuk is coming to say that you can give it to both categories. So therefore, the pasuk can also teach me that this is exceptional. But according to the Biudah, where I would not, I'm just reading it as in the plain way, so then this cannot be a source for others. So therefore, I need another source according to the Biudah, so he can learn it from a different pasuk. Nafkale mi lakeleb tashlichun oto. This is not regarding terefa, an animal that that died and it was sick, died in the field. So that you can give it to a dog. Oto atamashlich lakeleb. So that means that only that in particular you can give to a dog, but not anything else in the Torah, only that one. And so that's how the Biyuda will derive that this is particular to this these laws, not anything else. What's the Meir going to do with the law of the dog? Oh, the case of Nevela that says you have to give it to the, you can give it to the dog, that's coming to exclude only that you can give to the dog, but not another case, Cholin. If I take a regular animal, that's not a sacrifice, and I go and I do Shechita in the Beit HaMikdash, not allowed to do that, right? Only allowed to do Shechita on sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash, not others. If I do, then I can still derive benefit from it. And so that's why it says justice, but not anything else. Ve'idach, and so how about Rabbi Yehuda? What's he going to do with that? Cholin shenishchatu ba'azara lav deoraita hi. He doesn't agree with the at all that if you take a regular animal and sacrifice it in the Beit HaMikdash, he says that prohibition is not deoraita to begin with, and therefore you don't need a pasuk to tell me that I can take that and that food and derive benefit from it. And so instead, that pasuk can be used for other laws to teach me about the default. So in sum, Chizkiyah says the default is always going to be just about eating, unless he uses a passive verb. Rabbi Abu says the default is it's always prohibited to derive benefit from it, unless it says otherwise. And how does he know that? Well, either according to the Bei Meir, he can derive that from the fact that Nevela makes an exception, and Rabbi Yehuda can derive it from the fact that Terefa is the exception. And so we've accounted for all the different opinions. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.